Good evening. Take your Bibles, please, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 25. Now, I was planning on a 10-minute sermon tonight until Will's comment about you're going to be sitting for a while, and I'm not really sure that that was directed at me, so I won't worry about that. Proverbs chapter 25, we're going to take a few minutes tonight to consider this topic, a word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken. I'm sure you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 25, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, as an earring of gold in an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." Lord, we ask for your blessing as we look into your word tonight. We pray that the truths that we see in Scripture will impact our lives and our hearts, our minds, and Lord will work its way out into the way that we live and behave ourselves each and every day. And we'll give you the praise for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody here besides me that you've gotten yourself in trouble because of something you said? All right. Well, that's making me feel really at home. I appreciate that. Some of you did not raise your hand. I find that really astounding that you've never, ever said anything that would cause you some personal embarrassment. I was a preacher friend of mine. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble because we say one thing, or we think we're saying one thing, but it comes out differently. Right. And that can be problematic. Sometimes we will say something, and maybe just the way we say it, the words are right, but it portrays a different meaning. And so we can get in trouble that way sometimes. A preacher friend of mine was just really going strong on the idea that preaching is not a lecture. Preaching is not teaching. Preaching is proclaiming. And he said, you know, when Paul Revere was riding through the neighborhoods, he wasn't speaking that danger was imminent. He wasn't giving a lecture. He was proclaiming something. And he said, when Jesus preached, he wasn't teaching. He was proclaiming, and he shouted and said, and Jesus said, "The British are coming." And, well, that's not what Jesus said. So everybody got a real chuckle out of that. And he had to go back and, try to correct that. But we can definitely get ourselves in trouble if we're not careful. And the Bible, I know everybody here tonight knows that the warnings and the admonitions regarding our speech, those warnings and admonition in Scripture are not few. There are a lot of them. And I think the Lord expects us to pay careful attention to it. Somebody said once that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So how many pictures do you portray every day? There's an article that says that people on average speak around 6,000 words a day on average. Some studies show that people speak up to 16,000 words today, so that would be either 6 pictures or 16 pictures. But I will hasten to say that this article pointed out that there was no meaningful evidence that women spoke more words than men. And so I just want to make that clear tonight. This article continues that the higher number is probably more accurate as an average. It varies by personality, doesn't it? Some people talk all the time. That's their personality. And then there are other people that have a job. Where they talk, a job, so to speak, as in a preacher or a teacher or a sales person. So they make their living by talking. I have come in my life across a couple of people that I describe them as talking traps. And there was this one a lady in Charlotte many years ago that I was asked to go by and visit, and I did. I spent 2 hours listening to this lady. And it had nothing to do with the fact that she was a female, okay, because we've already made that clear. But she was talking, and I I thought maybe I could catch her when she was taking a breath, but I'm not sure she took a breath for 2 hours. And finally, I'm not sure exactly how I did it. I was able to kind of edge my way out. And as I'm walking down her sidewalk to my car, I called Joy. I said, "Sweetheart, I just escaped from a talking trap." It was difficult for me to even try to let her know that I needed to leave. These people are, you can recognize them because, of course, they talk all the time. They dominate the conversation. They interrupt your reply. They continually change the subject before you can contribute. They are space invaders, usually. They want to talk and they'll get right up in your face. Have you ever, you know, come across people like that? I've actually played a game with those people before. They'll step in and I'll step back. They'll step in, I'll step back. They'll step in, I'll step back. And I'm not kidding you, this is real. I have gone from one side of the auditorium to the other while these people talking me back in a corner. A number of years ago, I came across an article that was really insightful, and it said, simply the title of the article was this: "Say the Right Thing." Say the right thing. Now that we're going to look at how we can do that a little bit later on. I think the scripture points this out. It takes the idea is thinking before we speak. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Think before you speak. Think before you act. That's another one. But if we can just think. Here is something that people may say, and it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Walk in the door and say this: "What's for dinner?" That's not a real smart thing to do. A safer statement would be, "Can I help with dinner?" The safest statement of all would be, "Where would you like to go for dinner?" A dangerous statement would be this: "Are you wearing that?" The safest comment would be, "You look good in brown." The safest thing to say would be, "Wow, look at you." A dangerous comment would be this: "Should you be eating that?" A safer comment would be, "Would you like an apple instead?" The safest thing that you can say is, "Can I get you a glass of cold milk to go with that?" Another dangerous statement: "What did you do all day?" Not smart. The safer comment would be, "I hope you didn't overdo today." The safest thing to say is, "I've always loved you in that robe." A dangerous comment would be, "What are you so worked up about?" Not good. A safer comment would be, "Could we be overreacting?" But the safest comment of all in that situation would be, "Here's $50. With the amount of verbiage that's in our life, it's extremely important, seriously, that we pray the prayer that David prayed and mean it from Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips." There's been time in my life, and I'm sure you've probably experienced this too, that as something was coming out my mouth, I knew I should not have said that. And if any way I could, I would have reached out and grabbed it and brought it back. But of course, that's by that time, it's too late. The Bible has, as I mentioned, a significant amount to say about the fabric of our speaking. Scripture gives us at least 8 characteristics that should be true of our speaking. And we'll look at each one of those briefly tonight. Number one, right here in Proverbs chapter 25, the Bible says that our speech should be profound speech. It should be profound. Profound speech has character. Well, what do we mean by profound? It gives a very specific instance there. It says, "Go not forth hastily to strive." In other words, don't be in a big hurry to go to a conflict, lest thou know not what to do at the end. In other words, you start a confrontation and have no exit strategy. And you're just sitting there and you don't know what to do. It says, "Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another." Why? "Lest he that heareth it..." Now, the hearer here, I don't think, is the person you're talking about. It's the person you're talking to about somebody else. And "lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away." You know, we definitely are responsible for our words, but you know what? We're responsible for our ears as well. There are some people, sadly and unfortunately, they like to criticize. They like to be sarcastic. They like to complain. But you know what? If there is a problem, we all know this. You should, if you have something to say, you should go to the person that you have a problem with, not to somebody else. That's called gossip. That's called slander. That's called backbiting. And that is strictly forbidden in Scripture. And so if you're talking to someone, I found somebody gave me this advice years ago. It's simply this. If somebody comes to you and they start criticizing somebody else, you can always do this. Hold just a second. Okay, go ahead. And they said, well, what are you doing? I'm just making sure, I'm writing down what you're saying to be very careful that I accurately represent it to Brother Joe when I go and tell him what you said. And that oftentimes will end the conversation right there. We should not listen to gossip. Well, we should not gossip. That's what we're talking about. But we shouldn't listen to it. If there's a person that has a complaining spirit, person that complains, we're not supposed to listen to that. And you know what? In today's age, that would be considered by many people to be profound. Somebody that doesn't feed on this type of a conversation. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It is a beautiful thing. Now, the word fitly means fitly. It's an appropriate statement. An appropriate statement, but the word also carries with it the idea of a timely statement, something that is said right at exactly the right time. And you know what? That takes a lot of thinking. I think it takes a lot of praying. And as we ask the Lord to help us with the things that we say from day to day. So our speech is supposed to be profound. Secondly, the Bible in another passage tells us that our speech is supposed to be gentle. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says this, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. The word soft is a word that means gentle or tender. You know, have you ever seen a parent in an inappropriate way correcting their child in public? That's a very hurtful thing. I've seen parents scream at their children. I was I think it was right here in Charlotte at a Target store over on the Matthews side of town. I walked right in the door, and there was a woman, red faced, neck veins bulging, screaming to the top of her lungs at her stupid little child. Her words, not mine. And she was going on and on. And finally, a gentle elderly lady came up and just tried to diffuse the situation and said, ma'am, please, please don't talk to your child like that. And then all that rage and venom was turned on the, you know, stay out of my business. I'll, you know, talk the way I want to. And those are not gentle words. And guess how much good speech like that does? Zero. Doesn't help a thing. I've heard people say, well, you know, never speak in anger. You should always count to 10. Well, sometimes it maybe you should count a little bit longer than 10. It might take just a little bit more. But never speak in anger. Speak in gentle tones. Hey, even if we are in a situation where we need to try to correct something, it can always, a good thing can be done in the wrong way. But a good thing can also be done in the right way. Grievous means painful or offensive. We are supposed to speak the truth. But the Bible goes on and adds there that we're supposed to speak the truth in love. Thirdly, the Bible tells us that our speech should be righteous speech. Righteous speech. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 to 21. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die for want of wisdom. Now, the Bible gives us some information there that we'll look at in just a little bit about the brevity of our speech. But here it talks about he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The lips of the righteous feed many. And I take that idea of righteous speech as coming from that line right there. Lips of the righteous feed many. Here's what one commentator said. In contrast with the degrading talk of the wicked, that would be lying, slandering, gabbing is one of the words that this person used. The words or the tongue of the righteous are uplifting, therefore are valued like choice silver. However, with the wicked, not even their thoughts, their heart, have value, let alone their words. One of the reasons righteous words are valuable is that they nourish or benefit others spiritually. You know what my mother taught me many, many years ago? She said, Roger, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. That's good advice. But we live in a day and age, and I'm not really sure that our day and age is a whole lot different than it has been, because I think it is the human condition, not the condition of our society, that people like to have the last word. People like to add their 2 cents worth. People like to give somebody a piece of their mind. And as I heard one person say, you don't really have a lot to share to start with. So just be a little gentle on that. But the idea of righteous speech is good speech, that uplifts, that encourages. And listen, if somebody needs to be corrected, that can be done in a positive way. I've used this illustration before. I don't know if it was here or not. But let me just give you an example that I found in my own life. When I was in high school, I played football. And we had a big high school. It was 3,500 students, pretty new building. The gym was down on the bottom floor, and that's where all of our lockers were. The locker room was down there. And there was a problem with football players leaving their books up in the hallways upstairs and not bringing them with them, because it was easier to not carry around all those books. And so when they would get done with football practice, they would go upstairs and grab their books. Well, the administration, that was not a good thing. They wanted the halls cleared after school. A public school in the late 1960s of 3,500 students, it doesn't take a lot for you to understand why they wanted the hallways cleared at that time of day. And so I found one day that I had forgotten my books. And so I said, I'll just run upstairs and get them. And so I'm walking down the hallway, and I turn the corner to look at what is called our vice principal. I can't even remember his name, but I remember the way he looked. And I remember the way he looked at me that afternoon. And he must have been a drill sergeant in the Marine Corps, because that's the way he started talking to me. Now listen, I knew what I did was dumb. I knew that what I did was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. But the stinging of his words that day still stays with me. Now contrast that with, I worked when I was a school teacher right out of college. My summer job for a number of summers was working with my uncle, who owned a tire store in Conyers, Georgia. And I would work with him, and he did a lot of things. I mainly just swept floors and changed tires. I could do a few other things as well. I knew how to change oil, and that was one of the services that he provided. So there was a car that came up on the ramp and on the lift, and I lifted it up, and I was draining the oil. That was the first thing that I did. Then we had a grease gun where we would grease the fittings on the tires up front, and I couldn't get to one. It was really hard. I couldn't get the nozzle to fit on. And so I tried to take the tire, you know, it was on this swivel thing, so I could turn it. But it was power steering, so I couldn't do it. So without thinking, I reached up in the car and I cranked the engine. You do remember I said I just drained all the oil out of the engine? And cranked it up, I turned the wheel, I turned it off, and I started greasing it. Next thing I know, as I feel this gentle hand on my shoulder, And my uncle leans down and he says, "Hey, Raj, next time you turn the engine on, you might want to make sure that there's oil in the crankcase." And then he walked off. Now, that happened over 50 years ago. And I remember that to this day. I learned that lesson. I have never cranked a car without oil in the crankcase since. But I just wasn't thinking. It wasn't that I didn't know you weren't supposed to do that. I just wasn't thinking. And yet with his gentle words. Now listen, I remember both of those lessons equally as well. But I'd rather remember my Uncle Bill than Vice Principal, what's his name? Because of the way that works. The righteous speech, that which builds up. Number four, our speech is to be knowledgeable. Knowledgeable speech. Proverbs 14:7, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." Now, what is that talking about? If you don't know what you're talking about, then don't talk. I've met people, I'm sure you probably have too, they know everything there is to know about every topic in the world. And they don't. And I was taught many years ago, and I really should pay more attention to this than I have in the past. If you don't know what to say, what should you do? Say nothing. Just don't say anything. Don't pretend like you know what you're talking about when you don't. "I don't know" is a great answer, but you know what else is true? Even if you are the most expert person in the room on that topic, you don't necessarily need to let everybody else know about it. That's not humility. That's claiming your ground. It can be. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. "I don't know" is a great answer. The Bible says that a foolish person talks about things that they of which they have no knowledge. And the Bible says we're supposed to go away from them. We're supposed to steer clear of them. Number five, our speech is supposed to be correct. Proverbs 24:24 through 26. "He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer." And a right answer is the idea of an honest answer. How are honest words and kisses alike? "As a sincere kiss," one person said, "as a sincere kiss shows affection and is desirable, so an honest, even though straightforward, answer shows a person's concern and is therefore welcome. You know, we can take somebody's head and rub their nose in a problem or in a mistake that they made, or we, by kindness of words and by correct words or gentle words that we've already mentioned, make a lasting impact. But I'm afraid people who don't do that, myself included, is whatever happens, it kind of broils up and comes out of our mouth without even giving it a thought of how this is going to impact other people. And you know, there are those who would say, "Well, you know what, Brother Paul, does that mean I'm supposed to really care and be really concerned about how everybody's going to take what I say?" Yeah, that's exactly right. There's "Well, I'm just not that kind of person." That's no excuse. "Well, that's just not my temperament." Well, maybe that's not your temperament, but you know, our temperaments are supposed to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And we can't say, "That's just the way I am." Had a preacher, if I could remember his name, and if I were to say it, you would probably know who I'm talking about. Oh, I just remembered his name, but I'm not going to say it. He was having a revival at our church. I was a young music director at the time. And, you know, in our church, we had a certain way things were done. And I would stand off to the side. My father-in-law, who was the pastor, he would go down and he would greet people as they came forward and see if they needed prayer or something like that. And so the preacher was, the evangelist, was giving the invitation, a person came down, and my father-in-law was there. He was praying with him. And then somebody else came down and was just kind of standing there. Well, it was not our procedure for me to go down and talk to anybody. And I probably should have. If I'd been thinking, I would have done that. But he said, hey, get in there and talk to that person. Don't just stand there. I mean, like right on the platform. And I'm just, I did what every good, strong, red-blooded American man would do. I turned away and didn't look at him anymore. Because I was just, scalded right there. And then I didn't do anything. My father-in-law finally got to that person. Anyway, at the end of the service, I was standing at the back doing everything I could do to avoid the evangelist. Because, I'd already gotten spanked once. I didn't want to get it again. And so he came walking toward me and he said, brother, I'm sorry about being a little terse up there, but that's just the way I am. No kidding, that's what he said. And I thought, well, that's not the way you're supposed to be. In my mind, I didn't say that because I didn't want to get yelled at again. So we're supposed to be careful. We're supposed to have correct speech and honest answer. That even if something needs to be corrected, we can do it in the right way. Number six, our speech is to show humility. Humble speech. Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. I don't know any easier way to say this, so I'm not wanting to contradict some of the things I've just said, so I'll say it kindly and politely as I can. Don't be a braggart. Don't be the person that always talks about what you have done or all the things that you are going to do. If praise is to come, let it come unsolicited from another individual. If it doesn't come, don't get your feelings hurt. Because remember, if we did something and we're expecting somebody to praise us for it, then we were doing it for the wrong reason to start with. If praise is to come, let it be unsolicited. If it doesn't come, just remember that we did it for the Lord and not for others. And I like this thought. God never overlooks our work for Him. He always is mindful of it. Number seven, gracious speech. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. Our words are to be charming. Our words are to be elegant. Our words are to be chosen carefully and with deliberation, not hasty in our speech. Proverbs 29, verse 20 says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The Bible also tells us that we're supposed to be slow of speech in James chapter 1. Number 8, we're supposed to be, our speech is supposed to be, and I just so I could put it in one word, condensed. Condensed. There's a number of scriptures here. Proverbs 10, 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 17, 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his mouth, holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Ecclesiastes 5, 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Ecclesiastes 10, 14. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? And James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that just because something could be said, it doesn't mean that it should be said. Just because it could be said doesn't mean that it should be said. This is kind of funny, but I like what it says. It is better to keep your mouth closed and people think you are ignorant than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So it's best if there's something that could be said, just remember, we don't necessarily need to say it. It's a simple, but I think it's a profound thought. We can always say something later, but we can never unsay something. And when we speak in haste, we speak in harshness, we speak in pride, we speak with many, many, many words. We can always go back and say, hey, I'm sorry, or hey, that's just the way I am. But by and large, most of the times, the damage has already been done. Now you say, well, Brother Powell, you sound like you are a thin-skinned person and you've been hurt before. Yes, I am a thin-skinned person and I have been hurt before. But you know, the thickness of our skin is no excuse for not following biblical admonition regarding our speech. These are not suggestions. These are commandments from the Lord. And let me just close tonight by saying this. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Seasoned with grace. Let your speech all be always with grace, seasoned with salt. There's hardly anything that doesn't taste better with salt. Anybody here put salt on watermelon? Okay. There's a few of us. It even makes that taste good. And so, if we're reaming somebody out red-faced, it's more than likely we're doing more damage than we are good. But if we can take time, think about what we're supposed to say, frame it the right way so that the Lord is honored and other people are helped, then the Lord is pleased. Let me just quickly just end by saying this. You know what? We're talking a lot tonight about what we're not supposed to say, not a lot of words, but you know what? There are times that we are supposed to speak up. That is when we know that somebody's having a bad day. We know that somebody's struggling. We know that somebody is having difficulty. Those are the times that we think, well, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to, you know. But no, that's the time that especially the prompting of the Holy Spirit, say, you need to say something to that person. You don't have to say, why are you looking so bad today? How are things going? If there's an ongoing problem, you don't even have to talk about it because they might not want to talk about it. But you can just talk about something that lightens their burden a little bit and lifts their spirits just a little bit. Our speech, our words are to be profound, gentle, righteous, knowledgeable, correct, with humility, gracious, and condensed. Lord, would you please help us that we will know exactly how these principles are to be applied to our life. Probably not all of these need to be considered by any one person, but Lord, certainly there's one or two of them that we all need to take heart and pay attention to. And we'll give you the praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name.